Internet. Howdy. How are you? Actually, that's not how we do this. Let me do that again. Internet, what is up? I hope everybody is well. Let's get business out of the way here first and talk about us, me, or the Patreon. Okay? Everybody should be pretty well informed. If you're not, Instagram is a bunch of cunts and they shut my page down, as I've discussed several times. We're just going to continue to talk about it because pisses me off that they can just push buttons or assign algorithms to just fuck your shit up from a business or personal perspective when you've spent years and years on that platform. It's infuriates me. So to help combat that in the future, we're diversifying things and we've started Patreon. And I want all of you guys to go over to Patreon because we're going to be shifting a lot of what we do over there on Patreon. And we've got things broken down into three categories for you. So we've got our Around the Campfire. I call it Around the Campfire. It's $10 a month. You can join that. And what you get for your $10 a month, you're going to get a bi-monthly Q&A. I do that two times a month. I've got to talk to my patrons this week because everybody gets really wrapped around time schedules. And I normally do it on Fridays twice a month. But we had to shift some things this last week. And I had to like bump things up to a Thursday because I was going to be on the road and I was going to be training. And people didn't respond well to that. So people, my patrons, I love you guys. Be more flexible. And that includes everybody else out there. Be flexible, okay? Flexibility, we like that. Things change, things shift, and we've just got to learn to be flexible. So that's that. But we're going to do a live monthly Q&A, in which case we'll jump on, and you guys can ask me questions directly to my face and have some private time with me on a live video stream. What else are you going to get? You're going to get those recorded. So if you miss one, you'll be able to hop on and catch whatever you missed from the live stream. And we've still got to post those up. We've got a few in the queue. Kato's got to do some editing and we've got to get those up. So those will be up soon, but you're going to get a live stream. You're going to get direct messaging access to me in which you're guaranteed a response. And then you're going to get Sticker of the Month Club because who doesn't love stickers? We need things to put on our gun boxes and on our favorite coffee mugs or water bottles. So I am going to do Sticker of the Month Club. And we have our first couple contestants here in the Sticker of the Month Club that are going to get shipped out to the patrons here real soon. And so that's what you get for your Around the Campfire access. The next level up from that is the team room. And that's $25 a month. And what you're going to get from that is you're going to get a monthly tradecraft video. So I'm going to do a little video edit and I'm going to probably do how-tos or I'm going to do gear reviews or I'm going to talk about the things that you guys always hit me up about. Like, you know, I'm going to probably have a little segment called What's in the Box because people always want to know what's in my decked boxes, they want to know what's in my gun box, or they want to know what's in various other little containers that I like to carry around with me. So we're going to do a little tradecraft video. So you'll get access to that, one a month for that. You'll get the bi-monthly Q&A. You'll get access to the live streams, the direct messages, of course, and then you're going to get a free Lone Element hoodie. And who doesn't love a hoodie? So I live in my hoodies. I love my hoodie, particularly my Glock hoodie, because it's the best firearm ever invented. That's just my, you know, outspoken opinion, but it's the truth. Sorry for you if you don't believe that. Okay, so you're going to get a hoodie, you're going to get live streams, you're going to get a video, oh, and you're going to get a sticker as well. So you're going to get everything you'd get on the first tier, plus a lot more. Now, the high-level tier, that's $50 a month, and I know a lot of you are probably like, oh, $50, that's a lot of money there, and I would agree with you, especially in this current disaster of a time frame we're in with our piece of shit administration that's running the country into the ground. But if you do want to pay $50 a month, then what does that get you? It gets you all of the other things that you get in the other two tiers, but you're going to get a free class slot to a Lone Element training class. That's right. Part of what my initiative for this year is to get my training back online because I used to teach force on force training and specifically low light, which is kind of my wheelhouse. Lights on gun stuff, the how, when, and where to employ a weapon light on said weapon system. So I'm going to get those fired back up this year. We're going to get back to work on that, start offering those again regularly. And so what that's going to get you is if you join the $50 tier, it's going to get you a free seat to one of those classes. Now, the catch to that is you do have to be a paying member for 6 months. So you can't jump on there, pay for 1 month, and then jump off and be like, Brian, where's my free class slot? Doesn't work like that. You got to pay at least 6 months into that to be eligible and vested for your free class slot. You're also going to get an invitation to the annual Summer Mentorship Symposium, which Kato and I are going to put together. I'm probably going to bring in some of my other really cool companies and sponsors of what I'm starting to do here and bring in some of my fellow peer instructors from the industry, Might try and wrangle up, oh, Mr. Will Petty or some of my other people that I know in the industry to come in and do a training and adventure symposium. We can do some whitewater rafting. We'll do some shooting, do a medical class, things like that. So we're gonna put together an annual Lone Element summer symposium hosted in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Now, you will be responsible for your travel and your food and your lodging while you're there, but hanging out around the campfire and all the training will be on the house. So you will have access to that, and that will be invitation only, and it'll only be if you're paying that $50 tier. So go sign up for that if any of that sounds good to you. And in addition to those things, you will get all of the other things. You'll get the sweatshirt, you'll get the sticker of the month club, you'll get the live Q&A, you'll get the messages, you'll be able to message me, all those things. So those are our three tiers. So go check out and sign up for our Patreon page. Okay. Now, the Instagram debacle. Let's just touch on that for a second. I'm going to say, please go sign up well, first of all, if you're listening to this podcast right now and you've followed me on Instagram in the past, go check your Instagram because the page got deleted. We've got a new page at loneelement_actual is where you can find me now. So if you were following me before, because we're getting a tremendous, like thousands of downloads a month. And I really appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys, I can't tell you how thankful I am for all of my fans that tune into the podcast. But if you're following the podcast and you're downloading the podcast every month, please go over to go check out my Instagram page and see what happened there and make sure you're still following that. And if you're not, click that follow button again, please. I would greatly appreciate it because we are currently stuck in the 600 person range. So, we're getting there. Only 7,400 more to go to get us back. So I know there's 7,400 of you out there that were following me before that are not following me now. So please check your feed and go push that follow button. And also, while you're at it, because I think this is probably the only way to combat what's going on with this cancel culture nonsense, I've talked about it with other people, is that email list. Because here's what happens, and it's happening right now. If I set up this new page, I jump back on here, I talk about it on the podcast, I'm doing everything I can do on Instagram already has me shadow banned again, by the way. Like, they shadow banned me at like 280 followers on the new page. So, like, this is why I'm getting stuck at certain places, and I've got to like get creative with like how to break that algorithm. But realistically, you gotta have the email list is critical. I have to have a way to get in touch with you guys to let you know when this happens so that you can just go click the button again when this happens. So I think it's a way to basically repopulate the page relatively quickly. And if you can do that, that'd be great. So go sign up for, if you click the link tree, it'll drop down and go sign up for the email newsletter that we're going to start populating and doing real soon. I would really appreciate it. And you'll be able to stay in closer connectivity to me as you were before. So go do that. I would really appreciate it. Okay. Now that that's all out of the way, let's fucking GO.
'Cause I'm so fucking good. Get some, baby. Get some. Get some. Get some. Get some. Get some. Come on. Get in. Come on. Get some. Get some. Yeah. I got you, brother. Ha.
Okay. Here we are. I want to jump on here. The analytics here are always fascinating when I get on our back end. I don't know why. I always just look at it and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm in awe that so many people around the globe give a flying fuck about what I have to say. But I dig it. I think it's awesome. It's amazing. And I can't thank all of my fans around the globe. Thank you so much. And so we're going to do top 10. We're going to jump into top 10. Looking at the analytics right now, we've had some fluctuations. Things have moved back and forth. And there's company, or I'm sorry, countries out there that are competing for spots. So who's coming in at number 10? It is Kingdom of Norway. My Norwegian people. Vikings. Love you guys. I want to come to Norway at some point. You guys have a gorgeous country and are cool people, and I would love to come visit. And right now, like there's a chunk of you guys that are downloading the podcast. So here's what I would say. Call to action for my Norwegian folks, okay? Because I really want to come see the Northern Lights at some point. Check out your country. Drink some of your beer and hang out and have a good time. And I would love to meet my listeners that are in Norway and really in all of these other countries as well. But like particularly, like I haven't been to Norway. It's one of those, I've filled up two passports in my life. I've been to like 30 countries, just haven't made it up to Norway. And I would love to do that. So my Norwegian folks, please hit me up via email or DM me at loneelement_actual or email me, info@loneelement.com. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from my Norwegian folks. Okay, number 9, Ireland. Listen, Ireland, okay? Some of you DM me quite regularly from Ireland, and I got to tell you, some of the shit that comes out of your mouth is a little bit cunty, okay? First of all, no one cares about your 20, that you just got your first 22 caliber pistol. That's cute, but stop being communists and fucking just legalize guns again, okay? Because you never know, like, Ireland, if you're not paying, if any country in Europe is not paying attention to what the fuck is happening to Ukraine right now, give your people guns, okay? Yes, live in dangerous freedom. Yes, I'm sure people are going to fucking kill each other. That's just how it fucking, that's human nature, okay? If we haven't figured out that globally yet, we've got big problems, okay? But I'd rather live in dangerous freedom. It's also why no country in their right mind would ever invade the United States, okay? Because you're just not. You're just not. They're not going to do it. General Yamamoto in World War II, when, you know, the emperor was asking him about invading the United States during World War II, he said he would never do it. And the reason for that was because behind every blade of grass would be an American with a gun. And he's right about that. Behind every blade of grass would be an American with a gun. And so that comes in pretty handy to keep fucking Russians or Chinese from parachuting into your backyard and fucking up your world like they're doing in Ukraine right now. So, I love you Irish people. I'm happy to come there anytime and visit, maybe help you do lame shit like throw fucking red paint on the Russian embassy, get drunk and go do that, okay? Maybe we can do that. But in the meantime, you're in at number 9 right now, okay? I'm going to need you guys to fucking get your shit together and maybe rise in the rankings. And you're going to do that by downloading more episodes of the podcast. So my Irish folks over there, fucking go tell your friends. Go tell your mates, okay? Let's start proliferating the podcast a little more in Ireland, okay? And yes, I've been to Ireland a couple times, but I want to come back and see you guys again because I didn't get a chance to do some of the fun shit that I wanted to do last time I was there, so just forever ago. So, like, I want to come back and visit you guys too. So also, hit me in the DMs or shoot me an email, info@loneelement.com. Okay, who's next? Republic of South Africa. South Africa. Love you guys, okay? The good part of the Dark Continent. I want to come there and visit South Africa as well because I haven't. I've been to a few countries in Africa and didn't really enjoy any of my time there, mainly because I was working and didn't get to do the adventuring that I wanted to do. I've been to some great places. Definitely want to check out South Africa. And you guys are on the rise. And I think it's because of our good friend down there, Soria. Soria, thank you so much. Continue to tell your mates and proliferate the podcast down there, and we will get down there eventually to come visit you. It's on the to-do list for sure. Okay. Number 7, Kingdom of Netherlands. Okay. More of our Viking folks love to come visit the Netherlands as well. Okay. Let's see. It's funny that a lot of these countries that follow me are the one, you know, just the handful of countries that I have not been to in Europe. It's fascinating, but it's the case. I've been to a lot of countries, just not some of these, most of these. Okay, Kingdom Netherlands, you guys are coming in at number 7. Number 6, New Zealand. My fucking Kiwis. My Kiwis, you guys have fallen in the rankings. You guys were up there in like the top 5 for a hot minute. So I'm going to need you to get your asses in gear there, Kiwi folks, and get things going again. Let's get back in competition because your brothers in arms over there in Straya are fucking kicking your ass. So let's go. Okay, Kiwis, let's go. All right, number 5. Okay, and Kiwis, like, this is how sad I know things are. The fucking Republic of Germany is beating you right now, okay? Germany's fucking beating you. So let's, Kiwis, get your shit together, okay? Because I do not like to see this. The Germans are coming in at number 5. The Germanic people, they're fucking harsh language that anytime they speak it, you feel like you're getting yelled at. You feel like you're being scolded. If anybody's ever heard rapid-fire German, it sounds like you're fucking getting screamed at, even though they're not. They could be, like, asking you if you're having a nice day or not, and you kind of want to either fucking run or fight them. They make great beer, though, and fucking great cars and good guns, so there's that. I want to definitely come rabble-rouse around Germany some more. I haven't been to Germany for a hot minute, but I've been to Germany a few times, and every time I went there, I had a fucking great time. They have some amazing beer there. I definitely want to hit up an Oktoberfest again. And maybe now, since the world has fucking got over its cuntiness with COVID, maybe fucking Germany will get Oktoberfest fired back up again. And maybe I'll do that this year. Oktoberfest could be a thing in the future. Germany at number 5. Okay, so number 4. It's the UK. It's the UK-ish folk, as I like to call you. So yeah, my Brits coming in at number four, and you guys are definitely always in top five. So I enjoy that. Okay. But here's the part that's really making me happy, UK, and you'll have to like maybe do something about this, is the prison and colonies kicking your ass. That's right. My good cunts down in Straya are coming in at number three. And I'm so happy today because I received a text message from one of my favorite Australians, my favorite Aussies, old Courtney Barber. She's about to marry one of my good childhood friends who I'm going to talk some shit about, who's like grown up and frankly become a boring fuck. Jacob, I'm talking the fuck to you. Maybe get your shit together. But Courtney, I absolutely love her to death. Like, I'd jump on a fucking grenade for Courtney Barber. She's one of the fucking most amazing Australians I know. And they invited me to the wedding down in Australia in December. So I'm going down under in December probably. And I've got other friends that have contacted me that live down there. So I'm excited to get down there and finally rabble rouse on the Gold Coast. Like, I'm going to go hit this wedding and then I'm going to fucking try and burn the Gold Coast down and maybe come back with a wife, because Australian chicks are really fucking hot and they're DTF. So maybe I'll come back with either gonorrhea or a fucking wife. Let's keep our fingers crossed there. Okay. Number two, the Canadians, the Canadians, my favorite fucking Canucks. Okay. From the North, the wild North. Some of my favorite people, old Kelsey and Brady Schrin. It seems like the Canadians maybe finally got their shit together up there, and the COVID mania and mandate shit is fucking subsiding, and maybe freedom has returned. However, Canadians, I would caution you not to forget about this bullshit, and next time there's election, let's get that cunt Trudeau the fuck out, because he's a piece of fucking shit. So let's keep that in mind. Let's get him the fuck out of office. He did nothing but fuck things up and make excuses and displayed the most horrific leadership I fucking have ever seen. So maybe you guys can fix that during the next election cycle. But happy to see things kind of hopefully returning to somewhat normal. And maybe this means that I'll actually get up and go visit my friends in Brady and Kelsey, if they'll let me in. I don't know. I've talked so much shit about Canada now, they'll probably fucking stop me at the border and refuse to let me in. But we'll find out. We'll find out, because I'm about to fucking hit that up. And then always coming in that fucking number one spot are my fellow fucking Americans. Good job, America. Love you. Unless you're Joe Biden, then you can fucking fuck straight off. Let's go, Brandon. Okay, we have covered fucking top 10. Top 10 is done. Okay, what are we going to talk about? Let's talk about something that I found highly amusing, and I'm going to rant about this a little bit, but I found this highly amusing. It was a post that Warbear put up. Now, I have not met Warbear in person. I don't even know fucking Warbear's name, but he makes me fucking laugh. He is a fucking maniac, an army vet, and just a fucking maniac, and a younger fella, and he, the shit he says and does on the content that he puts up on his pages, he's been deleted like 5 times from Instagram, I think. And when you get on his page, you'll understand why, but he fucking cracks me up. And today I was going through my feed and he's like doing his usual like thing. And I got to tell you, I love Warbear's content. I'm going to try and get him on the podcast, actually. Warbear, if you're listening to this, motherfucker, I'm getting you on the podcast so we can rant and rave about shit together. But because I think that would be a fantastic conversation. But Warbear sometimes goes deep in the fucking cannabis, and then he fucking will go really deep into the fucking Reddit universe and just gets information that's necessarily not true sometimes and comes back and shoots from the hip. But he's really great, though. When you're like, hey, motherfucker, that's not true, he always will fucking correct himself and be like, okay, I was fucking dumb and I fucked that up. Just like he did recently with the Ford Observations group rant that he fucking did. Now, I'm watching him do a similar thing on Ernie over at OAF Nation. So, real quick, there was some ranting about Ernie not being a real MARSOC dude and this, that, and the other. So, first of all, let's go ahead. It's long overdue. I've been wanting to do this for a while. Okay, because it's something of consternation to me, and I've like had shit talk to me about it, and like it's annoying as fuck to me. So let's do a little history lesson, okay? A Marine Corps history lesson, because unfortunately, you Army fellas, as much as I love you, you do a good job of not understanding Marine culture and fucking it up, and just not understanding how we fucking do business over in our neck of the woods in the Marine Corps. So let's do a little history lesson. that has to do with MARSOC and Marine Raiders. Okay? So let's start there, and then we'll circle back around and we'll readdress this issue going on with Warbear fucking just coming hard out of the gate at Ernie over at OIF Nation. So here's the deal with the Raider thing, okay? The Raider thing is not a fucking recon thing, okay? I'm sorry, it's just not. Any of my fellow Marines out there that want to fucking argue about any of this shit, go fuck yourselves. I'll argue all day with you guys, okay? Step up to the plate. I'll argue all day with you guys because you guys fuck shit up just as bad as everybody else does with regard to our history sometimes, okay? All you little new MARSOC kids that fucking think you're super cool because you just passed your fucking first selection in life and fucking are now air quotations operators, like, read a fucking history book, okay? You guys came from recon, okay? So where I'm going with this is Raiders and recon and MARSOC are not all same, okay? And we'll back up because here's the number one proof of this. Raiders were always an infantry thing, always a Marine infantry thing. Always, always, always has been. It's where we came from. They took fucking Marine infantrymen and they redesignated us as Raiders, okay? And we were stood up, I believe in 41, by there was Edison and then there was Carlson. And those were the first Raider regiment was Edison, second Raider regiment was Carlson, okay? And those were stood up in 1941 to conduct at the time what was considered as Marine small boat amphibious raid stuff in the Highland Hopping campaign. And they were highly successful and they kicked a lot of ass and good for them. But they were fucking infantrymen, okay? So what happened from there is at the end of the war in 1944, they got redesignated as 4th Marine Regiment. Guess what my 1st Battalion was? 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. So in the past, I've taken heat because I have a fucking Raider tattoo on my leg. So I served from 1995 to roughly 2005. So I was in for a minute and was in a Raider company. And at the time, it was strictly, when I was in, still just an infantry thing. Every infantry battalion has what's called the boat company or the Raider company. And we carry on the Marine Raider lineage, which is, and legacy mission, which is over the horizon, company-sized boat raid stuff. That's what we do. That's what we did. Okay. The boathouse at Del Mar had a fucking Raider emblem on it. The fucking raid section at Special Operations Training Group had a Raider logo on it. And it was a Marine infantry thing. And it was for a really long time. And so anyway, riddle me this, Batman. For everybody that wants to argue about, for all my little recon kids out there and all little MARSOC kids out there that want to fucking argue about this with me, please feel free. I'm happy to tell you that you're wrong and why. And here's why. Riddle me this, Batman. If we are from the same lineage and cut from the same cloth, then how the fuck was there an amphibious reconnaissance battalion existing at the exact same time Marine Raider battalions existed? Because reconnaissance battalion was started in 1942, if I'm not mistaken. So they were stood up a year after Raiders existed. And so now you have amphibious reconnaissance battalion and you have Marine Raiders. And they existed at the same time and they had separate commanders and separate chains of command. So how can you be part of that lineage of Marine Raiders, their recon bubbas, if you had your own command and you were, had your own commanders and you were executing a similar kind of same mission as the Raiders were, more reconnaissance oriented than actual raiding oriented. But how does that work? Somebody please riddle me that, Batman, because the answer to that question is it can't be. It doesn't exist. Like, you guys have your separate lineage. We have ours. Okay. Raiders and recon fellas, not same. Okay. So then let's take this down the road because this all happened while I was on active duty, while I was in. Okay. The birth of MARSOC. Where did MARSOC come from? MARSOC came from when the war on terror kicked off and we saw a tremendously huge spike and need for highly trained special operations personnel to go into Afghanistan and do awesome, fucking amazing shit that they do. Donald Rumsfeld was like, we need more of these fucking guys. Okay, where can we get more of these guys? Oh, hello, Marine Corps. You're not contributing jack shit to U.S. Special Operations Command. Why don't you have a component? You guys are fucking capable. What's going on there? So he hit up the Commandant. Commandant didn't like any of this language because I think it was General Gray back in the day. I could be wrong about this, but I think it was General Gray. He's one of the Commandants. Don't remember which one he was, but he was like early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. No, mid 80s to late early 90s. He, I think in 1986, when U.S. SOCOM was stood up, told SOCOM, who asked the Marine Corps to participate in 1986 when they stood up SOCOM, General Gray, I'm pretty sure, told them to go fuck off. And I think is quoted as saying all Marines are already special or something to that effect, which if you've been in the Marine Corps, you know that that's fucking not true. So anyway, fast forward, War on Terror, 2001 to time frame. Okay. The late and honorable great Donald Rumsfeld fucking was like, hey, we need more special operators. Marine Corps, kick down. And so the Marine Corps drug their feet on it. He basically had to be like, you're fucking doing this. He had to have a talk with fucking the commandant and be like, this is happening. So stop dragging your feet, stop fucking around with this and do it. Because the Marine Corps commandant at the time, maybe it was Hagee? I can't remember. Anyway, didn't want to participate and did everything not to participate. But I digress. They did participate, and here's what they did. Okay, Colonel Robert Coates, who is a fucking legend, by the way, and was detailed out to the agency and did some shit during Iran-Contra in Central America and then came back and then was, I believe he was the commander of 1st Recon Battalion, and then he was also the commander of 1st Force Reconnaissance Company, and then he was also the commander of Special Operations Training Group, where they do all of the cool guy fucking awesome CQB courses and, you know, all of those urban sniper courses and all the cool guy shit. Okay, Special Operations Training Group's in charge of that to train and prepare the Maritime Special Purpose Force, or the MSPF, to then attach to the MEU, Marine Expeditionary Unit, which is our deployable amphibious ready group that goes out and fucking patrols around the world and is our force in readiness for expeditionary warfare. So old Bob Coates, fucking tremendous man, had several conversations with him. He stood up what was called Marine Corps Special Operations Detachment 1, which was, in fact, the godfathers and the predecessors to what MARSOC is today. So that said, he stands up this 86-man unit, and it was a group of hand-selected Force Recon Marines and then a bunch of intel fusion, like, human and SIGINT fucking and linguist dudes, and he put them in a 86-man unit with a little command structure and whatnot. And then that became the test and evaluation unit for entrance into Marine Corps entrance into SOCOM. And so what did they do? They did a workup. I had the pleasure of having several friends that were in the Force Recon part of that, and they're great dudes. They were the cream of the crop of the Force Recon community. And they went out and they did amazing things. They went on a deployment. We were actually deployed at the same time. I was deployed in Fallujah. They were deployed in Baghdad and Ramadi and attached to Naval Special Warfare, and a Naval Special Warfare element that was out there. And they did fucking amazing things, and they hit home runs, and they laid the groundwork when they came back for Marine Corps passing its evaluation. It was congressionally evaluated, and everybody took a look at it at the Pentagon, and their combat metrics were in Iraq were irrefutable. And Rumsfeld was like, yes, Marine Corps does have the capability to become part of Special Operations Command. And so he slapped the table and said, make it happen to the commandant. Now, I know for a fact, because I know these guys and had several intimate discussions with them while all this was going on, is that the primary vision coming from Colonel Coates was that he wanted this to be a more special unit, special mission unit oriented entity, meaning he wanted this to be like, hey, we're actually part of JSOC. We want to be part of JSOC. We want to be at the JSOC level. So he wanted a West Coast and an East Coast detachment to be at JSOC level. So the original plan was Recon Battalion feeds Force Recon. Force Recon feeds SOCOM Detachment 1 and 2, and they stay small 100 to 200 man units on the East and West Coast. Now, what happened with that is Rumsfeld had bigger ideas. He had a better idea of like what he wanted to do. And so in terms of the force and the force readiness for the Marine Corps component of SOCOM, and he was like, fuck no, this is going to be a 3,000 man, okay, unit. So figure it the fuck out. It's not going to be this small, intimate, wet dream fantasy of you guys at JSOC. So he disbanded. They disbanded that one. A lot of those guys went off to special mission unit selections and passed and served at special mission units and retired. And good for them. But what had happened was, now that the Marine Corps was ordered by the Department of Defense to and the SecDef to get this unit going, they had no choice but to pull and pillage people out of units. So what they initially did was they were like, cool, guess what? Hey, 1st Force Recon, you're now redesignated as 1st Marine Special Operations Battalion. Hey, fucking 2nd Force Recon, you're now redesignated as 2nd Marine Special Operations Battalion. And then they set up a headquarters on the East Coast and they did all of that. So that's kind of the genesis of where all this came from. Now, during the genesis of this, the Marine Corps was kind of the bastard child, the new kid on the block, and the bastard child of SOCOM, and they weren't well received because SF, Army Special Forces, and SEAL generals and SEAL admirals that now had to work with this Marine component of new dudes were like, you guys are undertrained, under-equipped, and underfunded, and like, what the fuck am I going to do with you, and what the fuck purpose do you serve? So they had to deal with a lot of that on the SOCOM side of the fence. And then on the Marine Corps side of the fence, they needed a bunch of staff and officers to run things. Well, there wasn't a bunch of recon qualified dudes, so what did they have to do? They pulled in a bunch of fucking pogues and fucking infantry officers and dudes from all over the fucking Marine Corps that didn't understand what the fuck their mission was or what they were doing and had never worked in a special capacity at all. Not to mention had never worked in a recon company, battalion, platoon, etc. So there was a lot of fuckery that happened for a lot of years when MARSOC was stood up. I believe it was June 19th, 2006, a year after I had already gotten off of active duty and was like contracting and doing AFO shit for a contracting company in Afghanistan. I came back. I think I was home and they had an activation ceremony and I got invited to it by one of my DET 1 buddies and went and watched it. So literally watched the activation of MARSOC happen in front of my eyes. So got to do that. Got to participate in that little piece of history. But moving forward, they didn't really have an identity. And they were constantly arguing and fighting with SOCOM. They were constantly arguing and fighting with, within the Marine Corps. And it was just a really miserable time for guys that were in that unit from 2006, probably to about 2013, 14. So there was a lot, there was a long gap of time there where shit was just really, if you were in MARSOC, your life was hard because you were constantly doing battle with the forces of stupidity and they were kind of searching for their own identity. So what happened was, at some point, they wanted to become raiders. They wanted to carry that raider lineage because in Marine Corps history, Marine raiders were technically the first special operations unit in the Marine Corps. And so they wanted to, now that they're officially part of US SOCOM, they wanted to carry that lineage forward. So there was a podcast done from a force recon dude who was one of the plank holders of MARSOC. His name's Pete Perry, I believe. He was on the Global Recon podcast. Check out that episode. Go search that. I don't know the exact episode number, but he talks in depth in there about how they went to the Marine Raider Association and they lobbied the plank holders, the old school World War II dudes that were still alive and well and like in that had started and were managing the Marine Raider Association. They lobbied them for permission for MARSOC to carry on, take the baton, and carry on the legacy of the Raiders. And after a lot of discussion and a lot of basically, back and forth between the Marine Raider Association and Headquarters Marine Corps, it was finally authorized and allowed. And I think they redesignated as Marine Raider Battalions in 2014, I think, if memory serves correctly. So that happened. So let's not confuse people. Okay, the overarching lesson is here: Marine history is a little bit strange and diverse and very asymmetric, nonlinear shit sometimes. And let's not get confused. Because I constantly, people sometimes, if they see my Raider tattoo on my leg, they'll be like, bro, are you MARSOC? And I'm like, no. And they're like, what the fuck, dude? Why do you have a fucking MARSOC tattoo? Shut the fuck up. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, okay? Marine Raiders were an infantry thing. We were born in the infantry. We operated as infantry during the plank holder years in World War II. We kicked a lot of ass. We did a lot of cool things, okay? I served in a fucking unit. My first unit in the Marine Corps was a direct, it's directly connected to the first Marine Raider Regiment, okay? So I served in a unit that basically was redesignated, okay? So in World War II, in 1944, I believe, when the Raiders were redesignated, they were designated as 4th Marines, the 4th Marine Regiment. Within that regiment, there's 1, 4, 2, 4, 3, 4. The headquarters is in Okinawa, and the other three battalions are spread out among the other regiments. And so I served at 2-4. So I was in a battalion that has a direct tie and lineage to the Raiders, and also served in a Marine Raider company. Went through Scout Swimmer School, which is a block of instruction that's taken out of the basic reconnaissance course. Don't get confused. I'm not a recon Marine, nor do I claim to be one. But that block of instruction is part of the basic reconnaissance course. Also did the small boat unit course there, the boat raid course. Got MUSOC qualified through that. Was the chief Scout Swimmer for our company, which it was my job to fucking jump off the Zodiac and swim through shark infested waters and through fucking 14-foot plunging surf into a fucking over-the-beach scenario, which I fucking hated. It's miserable. Looks high speed as shit. Looks great in the movies. It's actually miserable as shit. It's a miserable fucking time. I hate it. And it's part of the reason why I don't like the ocean these days. But anyway, that gives you a little bit of background on what's going on here. Now, why is this applicable to everything that's going on with fucking Warbear and Ernie? First of all, I know Ernie. Ernie's a great dude. Ernie was a recon marine. There's fucking proof of that. Ernie was also a contractor, and I'm not sure exactly what program he worked on, but he's got pictures and was at several GRS compounds that I know of that I fucking worked on and had access to and was on. So I've seen photographic evidence of all this. Also, Ernie, despite what Warbear thinks, is kind of an OG gangster in terms of like the, gangster fucking GWAT revolution, like the cool kid shit of dudes doing CQB and t-shirts and plate carriers with their fucking Vans on. Like Ernie kind of spearheaded that with his OAIF Nation, stands for Operator as Fuck Nation. And it used to be his handle on Instagram back in the day, I think like 13, 14, when he started this thing, was called Operator as Fuck. And it was very much the GWAT counterculture. Ernie spearheaded a lot of the GWAT counterculture on the internet. And I think he got up to like, his Instagram got ridiculous. I think it got up to like 400,000 followers or something like that. And then that he got canceled back in the day before cancel culture was even a thing or it was cool. I think his page got shut down by Instagram and he had to push the reset button and restart. And he had to like dial things down and rename. He renamed it OAF Nation. I think it used to be OAF, then OAF Nation. But he's the one that's responsible for all that. And then Ernie did great things. Ernie went on to Harvard Business School. He's a Harvard Business School grad, and he's a good dude. So where there's confusion probably is in those early days of MARSOC, because there's like a lot of contention about like, bro, you're not MARSOC. You are not MARSOC. Well, guess what? They took a lot of recon dudes because they just needed people to staff MARSOC and be in billets. They took recon dudes and put them in fucking billets. And then back in the day, there was no selection process. Like, when they first stood up MARSOC, there was no selection, assessment and selection. There was no ITC course. There was none of that shit. So young MARSOC dudes, or even a little bit older MARSOC dudes, shut the fuck up. You're talking shit about dudes that fucking paved the way for your existence. Okay? That's what I will say to that. You're talking shit about guys that paved the way to your existence. So sit down and shut the fuck up. Okay? It's okay. So I'll stop beating a dead horse. But there's always two, the point to this is there's always two sides to every story. Things are always multiple, they're very nuanced, and there's things that are just people don't understand, especially if you don't come from that community or you're fucking what we suffer from nowadays, people being really stupid and not taking the time to pick up a fucking history book and read and learn their own goddamn history. So all of that said, that's my rant about this current situation. So hopefully you guys learned something a little bit about Marine Corps history and about how things are actually work and are structured with regard to all of that. So that's my fucking rant about that. Now, what's next? Training courses. I had the pleasure this last weekend. It's one of the reasons why I had to bump the live Q&A for the Patreon group up to the left a day. So we had to do it on Thursday instead of on Friday. I usually do it on Fridays. Had to do it on Thursday because I had to leave on Friday to drive down to Las Vegas and participate in a advanced pistol course. I think it's called Handgun In Depth, from a great human being, Brittany May, who owns Point Firearms Instruction. And it was a great course. It was a good course. Small, intimate group of people. She's a fantastic instructor. I can't say enough good stuff about her. She's going to be on the podcast here soon. She's in the queue now. We have a few episodes to get through. Like, we've got, I think Danielle from The Strong and Wild, or whatever the fuck she calls her podcast. She's one of my favorite humans and good friends. I'm really good friends with her and her husband. And she is going to be back on the podcast, I think, next. Then it's LaSalle from Desert Patriot. And then it will be Brittany. So she's a few weeks out. But she's going to be on the podcast, and we had a fantastic... we're going to have to do a part one and part two with her, because her and I talked for 3.5 hours, and it was a great conversation. So I'm excited for that podcast to come out. Great person, can't say enough great stuff. If you want to check her out, it's Brittany with two T's, May, M-A-E, on the gram, at Brittany May, and she is the proprietor of Point Firearms Instruction, or Firearms Training. I think our website's www.pointft.com, but I could be wrong. It might be .fi. Anyway, Google it. Google will show you the way to check her out. But that was a great course. What we're going to do with courses, we're like as I mentioned earlier on the front half of this, we're going to get back to doing training because I think it's time. I think it's time to get back in the saddle. And I'm just frankly, I'm looking around at my peers in the industry and like, you know, things that people are putting on. And there's just, in my opinion, there's a huge gap. And really, low light, a white light on a gun is an afterthought in a lot of training programs. And people don't really give it the seriousness that it deserves because as per my good friend Will Petty would say with his science and data, as per the FBI statistics, I think the standing number, it might have jumped from 79% to 81%. I'll have to double check that. But let's just go on the low end side of that. 79% of violent encounters that require the use of deadly force happen in the hours of darkness. So people, if you have weapons either to defend your house or defend your person or in your car or whatever, and you don't have a weapon mounted light on it, you're fucking wrong. And if you don't have the knowledge to use that light properly to defend yourself, to positively identify a target and defend yourself in low light and in a low light environment, or a mixed light environment, reduced light environment, as we like to call it, like you're fucking up in life, okay? It's almost as bad as like not knowing how to put a tourniquet on. So nonetheless, I'm going to get back in the game. I trained people for a long time from 2004 to 2013 and just got burned out on it and quit doing it. And now like I've had enough of a break and have pursued product development enough to now I'm looking at what's going on in the industry with regard to proper education of lights on guns, and I just don't see it. There's a lot of great classes out there, but the problem is they're trying to use live fire to teach teach principles that were born in a force on force medium. So it's kind of like trying to teach people how to pilot an aircraft by teaching them to drive, like having them drive a car, in my opinion. So although there's some good basic fundamentals courses out there, like lots of like what I like to call here's how to hold the flashlight courses, there's none that teach you how to fight well and survive in a hostile force encounter. So I'm going to get back in the mix. I'm going to get my force on force training going, and I'm going to get the low light going. And that's going to be the big push, and it's going to be the big business push for the summer, just to get that back up and running. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. And I hope you guys will join me. And I will, Cato and I are still in the middle of getting the website dialed in and put together. But as soon as that's done, we will be happy to give you guys training course dates as soon as we have some and as soon as we get that stuff dialed in. So what are we going to do next? Oh, okay. This weekend, it's my 45th birthday. So I happen to have a 1911 that was given to me by a recon Marine during the Battle of Fallujah. And I carried this 1911 in Fallujah during that whole operation. And got a chance to use it to deliver some security rounds to, you know, make sure dead terrorists were indeed dead. And I have not fired this gun since I came off the battlefield. So it's currently the only 1911 I own. I sold a lot of my other 1911s because, number one, I had to survive and to keep my company funded back in the day. And two, 45s will just kick the shit out of you, and my elbows and wrists started to hurt really bad from shooting all of the fucking 45 ammo that I was shooting because I'm a Marine and indoctrinated into the 45 caliber round and the 1911 platform, which I still love, still have love for it. I shot a tremendous amount of rounds and started to hurt my body quite a bit, which people out there that have shot a lot in 45 will tell you that in some cases it's required surgery to fix the carpal tunnel that you get from this thing. So I shelved it, and I have this particular pistol that I carried with me during the operation, and since it's my 45th birthday and I have not fired it since the operation, I am going to take 33 rounds, because that is how many Marines were killed from my battalion during the Battle of Fallujah, and I'm going to shoot 33 rounds into a terrorist paper target of my choice, and then I'm going to have that professionally matted and framed in a beautiful frame, and I'm going to put the names of all 33 Marines that were killed in there, and I'm going to auction that off to someone, and I'm going to probably around the anniversary of Fallujah, which I think it's the 18th anniversary this year. So this fall, during November, will be the 18th anniversary of Fallujah. I'm going to auction that off, and then I'm going to take the proceeds from that, and I'm going to find a charity, either, I don't know, some type of charity. I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe I'll find a Gold Star charity of some type, or some type of charity to donate the money to. But I'm going to do that. I'm gonna do that this weekend. I'm gonna shoot this thing since it's my 45th birthday, and I have lived way longer than I ever expected myself to live and survive. I'm gonna go ahead and shoot this weekend, 33 rounds for the 33 of my fellow Marines that were killed, and then we're gonna mat it and frame it and auction it off this fall and take the proceeds and donate them. So that's what we're gonna do. I just thought of that today, and that's what we're going to do. So that's all I have to rant about on this episode of Weapons Free Wednesday. I hope you guys are doing well and weathering the storm that we've got with this fucking administration and all the crazy things that we have going on. I can't urge you enough to prepare, because we don't know what the future is going to hold. We don't know if World War III is going to get nasty enough to pull us into a situation that causes some major civil problems, food shortages, supply chain shortages. Just, I would highly advise all of you out there to start getting prepared, okay? And you should, like, start taking a look at energy sources, like how to make your energy redundant in your house, like solar panels, generators, gas cans, that kind of thing. Have a way to keep the house warm if you need to. Then food. Obviously, food's the big ticket item. So make sure you're maybe taking a canning class or learning how to can good. Get on the internet. Get on YouTube University. That's how I learn how to do stuff that I don't know how to do. Or ask my friends throughout my vast network of connections if they know people, and then I learn from them. So learn how to do that. Okay. Be versed in medical situations. Okay. Know how to use a tourniquet and put on a pressure dressing and stop bleeding at a bare minimum. And then have medical supplies to do so in your vehicle and at your house. Let's see what else. So energy, food, medical, and then a way to defend your property and your family. And before I cut out of here, I'll just share with you a quick story. I went to a good friend of mine's house, and I served with him. And this was a couple years back. So he's corrected this problem by now. But his wife didn't love the fact that I was asking about his guns. And at the time, I think he only owned one handgun. But he did not have an AR-15. He did not have an AK-47. He did not have a shotgun. He didn't have any other guns besides from his pistol. And she was, you know, giving us both a rash and a shit about it. And they have a lot of nice stuff and a lot of nice things. They have a good quality of life. And so I looked around and everything, and I said to her, I said, "Hey, is this your house?" And she said, "Yes, of course it is." And I said, "No, it's not." And she just looked at me funny. And then I said, "Is that food in the refrigerator? Is that your food? Did you buy that at the grocery store?" And she said, "Yes, of course I did." And I said, "Is it yours?" And she's like, well, I guess, yeah. And I was like, "No, it's not." And I was like, "That car in the driveway, is that yours? That truck? Is that Toyota Tundra in the driveway? Is that your truck?" She was like, "Well, yeah." And I was like, "No, it's not." And she goes, "Well, how do you figure? Why do you keep saying these aren't my things when they're clearly my things?" And I said, "Because if you don't have a way to defend them and keep them, they're not yours. They're mine." And then I let that soak in for effect. And that's kind of the truth, people. If you can't defend your family and or your resources, they're not yours. And when people get hungry and their children are starving, they will turn into animals, and they will come for you. And so it would behoove of you to prepare with proper gear and training. And I will leave it at that, people. Enjoy your week, the rest of your week, and we will catch you on Monday. Peace.
Anyone who runs is a VC. Anyone who stands still is a well-disciplined VC.